What happens to us after we die? Do we cease to exist? Or do we live on? This may be the biggest question that mankind has ever asked, as well as what this podcast is about. In this show, we will examine past life memories, speak with professional hypnotherapists, astral projection practitioners, psychics, and much more. All in an attempt to decipher this riddle. So welcome to the puzzle. Welcome to the regression session. Welcome back to the regression session. My name is Ian. This week we're going to be hearing from Gina, and Gina is the host of Past Lives and the Divine, which is another podcast about, you guessed it, past lives and the divine. She goes through all kinds of metaphysical stuff, so it's pretty similar to my show. Go check it out after you're done with this episode. Gina is also a past life regression practitioner, and she has also some regression recordings that she's been the subject for and that she's facilitated. So if you're interested in more past life regressions, her show is a pretty good place to find some more of those. If you want to come on the podcast and share your past life experiences or your knowledge on any metaphysical topic, shoot me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com. And here is my conversation with Gina.
Hey, Gina, thanks for coming on to the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And like I said before, I just started recording. If you don't mind telling me a little bit about your background or just whatever is good for context to see who you are, what you do, what you got going on, that'd be great.
Yeah. I guess the main dish, I guess, on the table is that I help people with hypnosis. Through hypnosis, I guide people to experience scenes in past lives. And then we do, there are many different healing modalities within that for people to release, heal, understand, gain insight, wisdom, all so they can feel just better in this life.
Yeah. And you're good at it too. I mean, for my audience, like I probably said in the intro, Gina has her own podcast and she's released a ton of stuff, ton of content. So definitely check her out. But you have a really unique way of doing things where you're just so nice about everything. And I really like that. Some people aren't actually as nice about it, believe it or not, for some reason.
When you say more about that, like what is nice?
Well, okay. So I saw this thing and I've seen this multiple times and I don't know why this is happening, because it shouldn't be happening. If you want to consider yourself like a past life therapist, that's what people like us kind of refer to themselves as a general blanket. But if you're going to talk about yourself as a past life therapist, you shouldn't be doing this. I have seen a couple posts online about someone who studied at the Newton Institute, believe it or not. It was probably the same dude, but he would like get impatient with people if they were having a hard time going into the hypnosis or if they weren't seeing something immediately or something like that. And he would like rush them and be like, okay, this isn't working out. All right, we're gonna end the session now.
Oh, wow.
And I've heard that a couple times.
I guess what I'll say is I don't know what I call myself. I, according to the state of Minnesota, cannot call myself with anything with the name therapist in it, unless I'm a licensed therapist, which I'm not. But I am trained in hypnotherapy, but I can't call myself that. That's why I say I just guide people with hypnosis, because I can't use that. But anyway, so my point, I guess what I want to say is one of the things that I've noticed since I've gone through training, just coming back to what you said there about that person. I think you said it was a man who would be like impatient and get the client to hurry up. First of all, I think that's incredibly rude and such bullshit. And I think that that's not how I operate sessions. I know a lot of times with the Michael Newton Institute, they have a pretty like rigid methodology that they use, which I have not been trained by the Michael Newton Institute, but I've been trained by a woman who was trained by Michael Newton. And I just personally, I think to have such an agenda is really incredibly limiting to where the client could go. I also think when people who are facilitating these sessions, when they're getting frustrated with the client, I think that that is a real, God, I don't know what to call it. I think that if I was a client, that would be a real red flag for me, because here's what I believe. So the way I do it is like, I'm always telling people like, you got to go with whatever's in your mind. You're going to feel like you're making it up. Imagination feels a lot like intuition. So go slow, take your time. You know, we're going to do what you need to do here so you can have the experience that is here for you. Like, I truly believe that I am, you know, at the most 25% of a session. Like, there's the client, there's me, there's their spirit team, my spirit team. There's so much more at play. And so if I'm going to say to my clients, like, relax, get weird, go with what you're saying, and then me as the facilitator, I'm going to be uptight and rigid and impatient. Like, if anyone knows anything about intuition, astral travel, hypnosis, like if they really knew and their goal was really to help people have the most fullest potential filled session for themselves, as opposed to me, I'm the facilitator and, you know, I'm going to get value from this and validation from this. So you have to see A, B, and C. And if you don't, I have a problem with that. To me, that is just like working against what we're trying to do and what we're asking the client to do.
Right. And it takes this thing that's inherently supposed to be like outside of the box, and it's stuffing it into a box that's way too small for it.
Yes. Yes. And we're taking third dimension thinking. Like a lot of times, and I'll go into this because if you've listened to episodes about Life Between Lives on my podcast, you've heard me say this before. But the whole life between life structure that I was trained in, it's like they pick and choose between like using third dimension earthly things like hierarchies and linear thinking, and you're up here and I'm down there and I'm up here and that person's down there. That's all ego, human stuff. And so to think that we know, period, what's going on the other side, that's a sign of a real ego trip of someone who's like, I know what happens. It's like, no one knows what happens when we die. No one, you know, unless you've had a near-death experience, but then even people will argue with that. And so that's part of that rigidity too, of like, oh, well, if you're not seeing this in a life between lives, then you're failing. And it's like, what? Why? How can we even pretend to wrap our mind, or even assume that we can wrap our mind around every single thing that's going on in these other dimensions that we're, you know, barely even aware of?
Yeah. And I've even had myself, I've had clients see things that almost pulled them out of the hypnosis because it was so confusing to them that they just couldn't even find words to describe. And, you know, sometimes it's like these linear things that they're seeing, they're just using an approximation, right? So they can't really describe it, what they're seeing, with words. So they just use the next best thing that their mm-hmm. mind can understand. Because I have been in a state where I don't want to call it the superconscious, but that's like the best term for it, where I was trying to like telepathically talk to the practitioner, but it was just so weird because I couldn't describe what was happening to me. And I said the phrase, "This is so slow." And she said, "What's slow?" And I said, "The way that you humans communicate." So yeah, I definitely get what you're saying there. They're just using the next best thing that they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you have an episode about on your podcast about the anatomy. I think it's called The Anatomy of the Past Life Regression. And I really, really like that. If you wouldn't mind just like giving a brief like paragraph summary of like what you think step by step in an ideal situation would be, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I would. Yeah, so it's episode 3 of my podcast. And it was actually like that episode is like the reason I created the whole podcast. Because when I got certified to do past life regression, I really started talking about it. And a lot of people would be like, okay, I think I understand what you mean by past life. What does regression mean? And why is that relevant? And so and what does that mean? And people had like, what, how do we use hypnosis? So I really brought it all together in that episode. And another reason why I did that episode, which I'll get into the details in a second, is because also, I don't know if this is like an older generation thing, but within hypnosis, there is so much, I don't know, I think a lot of times it's probably unintended, but I think sometimes it is intended, mystery and secrecy. And I think it's just does the profession and that healing method a real injustice. And so that's another thing too. It's like when people get weird and like, you know, this is mine and I don't, you know, I don't want anybody else looking at it. Then I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to blow the cover right off this thing. It's like, it's such an old way of thinking, like this scarcity, like, oh, so in an anatomy of a past life regression, I break it down. So basically, it's really relevant to how I work with clients. And so what I tell people is, before you go into a session, I think it's a really, it's the best use of your time to find someone who you feel incredibly comfortable and safe with. That is the most important thing. It doesn't matter if it's over the phone or in person or online. The most important part is that you feel safe and comfortable with that person, because the number one thing blocking a client's success in a hypnosis session is their inability to relax and get into that space of intuition and their subconscious mind. So that's number one.
Thank you. Sorry for interrupting you, but yeah, thank you very much. Because I have an episode similar to that where it's like, it's called Let's Talk About Past Life Regressions. And that's one of the first things that I say too, is you need to find someone who you can trust. So thank you. Pay attention, everybody. I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Oh, and I think if you're someone who, that's the thing too, if you've been a client many times and you've worked with many clients, you'll know that. It shocks me how many people who facilitate hypnosis and hypnotic journeys who rarely are the client in the session. It fucking shocks me. It's like, if this is so great, why do you never use it? And how do you know what how do you know what the client is going through if you haven't been through one in a decade? Like, what? It just seems so old school and disconnected, and I'm over it. So, okay. So when you come into a session with me, before that, I give you something to listen to, like a stress relief hypnosis track. It's really just practicing getting used to relaxing to my voice. But then when we actually meet, right now I do all of my sessions on Zoom because I travel a lot. And with the pandemic, it forced me to get online. And I started to see that people, the sessions are more impactful for the clients when they're, again, even more relaxed in their home, as opposed to in my office, which they've never been before. And it's like, you know, kind of, it's not as easy to relax as it is in your own bedroom.
Right.
So when we come to the session, we chat just a little bit about their intention for the session and any questions that they might have. And those questions can be for me about the session, if they're nervous or if they're wondering about something. And then we also cover questions that they want to ask their spirit guide, their higher self. And that's what we do after we go through the past life scenes. And so if anybody has any questions, whether it's about their spirit guides or their higher self or anything else in their life, I always tell people, like, get creative. It can be related to your intention statement. These questions can be just anything that you would like, ask a psychic, because essentially you're being your own psychic. Because when a psychic reads you, if they're not a total charlatan, if they are reading something, they're reading your spirit guides, they're reading your like Akashic records, maybe they might be reading your energy fields. Everyone does it a little bit differently, but essentially we're all kind of picking up information in the same way. It's just different now because the client is getting it. I'm not telling the client an answer to their question. They're actually getting that answer, which is a completely different experience. And there's just no room for doubt when we get those. So we go through the intention statement, the questions they want asked. That conversation lasts anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes. And then we go right into trance. And the way trance starts out, it feels a lot for the client, feels just like a guided meditation. You're relaxing in a reclined position, eyes closed, and you're just listening to the words, and you're maybe visualizing the journey as it unfolds. Maybe you're feeling sensations, you're paying attention to what I'm saying, you're paying attention to different parts of your body based on the journey. And then eventually we land into a past life scene. And then that's where I always tell clients, like, get weird. You're going to feel like you're making it up. Just go with what's in your head. If I ask a question and your first response is, I don't know, I want you to not say, I don't know. And instead pause, wait for anything to come into your mind, whether you think it's right or wrong. And then we move forward with those details. Because the more details people engage with, the more details they get. And it might be visual, it might be a sensation, it might be an emotion, it might be an idea. It comes in many, many different ways. And we just never play around in that area, especially as adults. So it feels like play. It feels like imagination. But whenever someone comes out, they're like, there's no way I could have made that up. Like, I could never have written a story like that with that many nuances, threads, and just commonalities between that life and this life. And it's pretty... yeah, it's pretty wild. Okay, so we go through those past life scenes. Most people go through a death scene. Some people don't. That's pretty rare, but it's completely natural. Everyone, we get out of the life. And then when we're actually, after that soul has left their body, we spend just a second really kind of reflecting on that life just a little bit. And this is such an important part. Like, the death scene is the thing that a lot of people, if they're afraid of anything, that's what they're afraid of. But I can tell you, I've never had a client who left scarred. Our subconscious minds, that's what they do, is protect us. And so we only get the information we need. What's so cool about a death scene is that they're always, the soul leaving the body is always really mild and peaceful. Sometimes it happens in a second, and sometimes people are like, whoa, I felt my body like vibrating or being pulled in one direction. Those are the sensations they're feeling, but they're not necessarily moving anywhere. But it's at that place where I like to ask the client, and I like to say, was this a good life? Was this a bad life, a hard life? How would you describe this life? And anytime someone says it was a good life, I always dig in and go, well, I always dig and go, why? Anyway, but I dig in and go, why? And I love that, because everybody's answer to that is so simple. And it always comes down to connectedness, purpose, time in nature, autonomy, like time where you're able to do whatever you want. And it could be just like for a little bit here and there. It could be every day, however you want it. But it's really these simple, I don't know, kind of cliche things that we all think we know, but none of us live our life from that space. And so when the client can look back and they're in that trance, their subconscious mind is wide open and their memory is just like more vivid than ever. And so it's this really cool mix of like memory and emotion, and they're able to like really in their heart move forward and live as if those things are truly important. Because how many of us say, oh, my family's the most important thing, but then, you know, the moment work needs your time, you drop everything and go to work. Or so we all kind of know these things on some level, but we don't live from that space. And that's kind of the shift there. Then we move to that space of spiritual guidance. And this can be Depending on the client's goals, their intentions, what they saw in the past life scene, this portion of it, you know, might last 10 minutes. It might last 45 minutes. It just kind of depends. Does the client have blocks they want to release? Do they have residues from that past life or any other attachments that are making themselves known that we can try to work with and get the client to release it? And then we ask any questions, ask if there's anything else the client needs to know based on anything we've discussed or anything that's completely off topic. And then we come back, and I schedule every client session is 2.5 hours, or I should say first time clients are 2.5 hours. Most people go 90 minutes to 2 hours, but I just leave that extra half hour in there because I'd rather have a client get out early and feel like they got everything that they could, as opposed to me spending like maybe the last like 30 to 45 minutes of a session feeling rushed or feeling like we have to skip something. That's just not how I like to work. And I think most people would appreciate that. So most people get done in 90 minutes to 2 hours, but we schedule 2.5 hours for it. Whew. What are your questions?
No, I think that's great. You know, I love the fact that you mentioned all the things that I agree with. You know, as far as like spending time reflecting on it, using protection and calling on that natural subconscious protection during that death scene, because sometimes they can be a little bit traumatic, but not necessarily scary. And then bringing people back out and making sure you're bringing people fully back up from the hypnosis is also important. Those are some of the things that I specifically mentioned to look out for in looking for a practitioner. Personally, for me, I'm an open book. Like, I'll tell anybody the whole entire process that I use, because I use a technique that I found a long time ago called the Hall of Mirrors, because I love it. And it's really fast. It's really, really easy to go through. It kind of draws you in naturally because it's
nice,
makes you curious. So I'll talk about that all day. But like you were saying before, some people won't even talk about their process or even like the induction, as if it matters what induction you use anyway.
And I mean, I think with a Google search, you could probably have more inductions at your fingertip than you could ever want. That stuff is gross to me. Just like the sleazy, like, I don't know. I think we're on the same page on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I even encourage people to like, if let's just say, for example, Gina, if I regressed you and you were the client from me and you were in that session and then you were like, you know, I really like this one specific thing that Ian did, and you come back up out of the session and you're like, hey, Ian, you know, I really want to steal that. I'd be like, you're not stealing it. Just use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do think that there is definite value in like honoring where you're getting things and to have that conversation. Cause like that's, everybody wins in that situation, right? Like say I was like, hey, Ian, I loved this part of the induction, or I loved how you asked this question. Do you mind if I use that? And it's like such a win, because you're like, hey, that feels good when someone's like, hey, I liked what you did. I'd like to do it on my own. I think that feels really good. And it just feels good to be able to like help people, but then also like get some help. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So my next question for you is, besides that one thing that we mentioned earlier about like being an asshole about it, what's a red flag that you would say, okay, don't go to that person if you're seeing something similar to this?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, this is kind of, some people maybe won't like this answer, but
sorry
I
to
think
put you
that,
on the spot.
Oh, no, not at all. I think it goes back to be honest, if you're in a space where you're thinking about past life regression, I mean, I guess I should say, I'm assuming this because most of my clients are in this space where they're, I don't know, they're on a path of conscious awakening of some sort. They are like trying to understand why they do what they do. They're trying to be better for themselves, for the people around them. So I think that if you're in that space, the most important thing you can do is pay attention to how that person makes you feel. So if you can pay attention to how they make you feel, that is your intuition. Like we should be doing that anyway, but we can all do that, right? Like you don't even need to see someone. Like, you can just hear their voice and see and hear, like, oh, I don't know, I just get a vibe from this person. You know, I want to learn more, or I feel like I could relax, or I feel like I trust them, or I like their work, I want to learn more. And so really to pay attention to how they make you feel. And if you're like, I don't know how they make me feel, I just did a Google search, then I would say click on links. It's pretty easy. Most people today have some sort of free version of their methods, of their work, of their style that you can interact with. Even if it is just their website, most people have something that you'll be able to get of, essentially, like, you're just kind of getting a vibe. Like, do you want to spend time with this person? And if you feel like, man, I want to do past life regression, but I just can't, like, I don't feel comfortable with anyone, then wait and, like, actually say to your spirit guides, please send me someone in my path who feels good, who does in-person sessions in my area, or if you're open to doing online sessions, someone who does online sessions, whatever. But keep looking, because it is such important work, and it's so valuable, and it becomes even more valuable the more vulnerable and the more relaxed you can be. And you gotta, in order to do that, you gotta trust who you're with.
Right. And so tell me, in your perspective, what makes it so valuable? Because I've preached this a bajillion times on my show, but I love getting people's perspectives about what do you think makes past life regressions? And if you're on the fence about it, or if you've never tried it, or if you're even against it, what would be a reason to consider it?
So many reasons. Where will I begin? What I will say first, I guess I'll start with how I got there. I am someone who, I am very mindful. It's easy for me to see the big picture. It's easy for me to observe my own behavior and understand where things I want to improve on and that sort of thing. I seek out, like, self-help books or learning from people about things I want to learn. And so if you're that kind of person, like I was, I got to a space where I had been in and out of talk therapy, I don't know, since I was like 10, and this was probably, I was maybe late 20s. And I just, something in me doesn't always click with talk therapy. At this point, I'm 41 or whatever. I can tell you talk therapy works for me when I'm like dealing with something in the moment. But if I'm just dealing with like old emotions, like, man, every time I see this person, they just evoke this irrational, insert negative emotion, you know, where we can just feel it's deeper. And it was almost like I couldn't, if I could logically get it, like, oh, this person in my life is really difficult. Like, say I'm talking about a difficult relationship and I read a book about, you know, something that helps me understand why it's difficult, helps me accept it, but I just cannot accept it. I can logically get it, but I cannot feel it. I cannot live from that space. It just, the logic isn't working. That's when I go to hypnosis. Still to this day, that's when I go to hypnosis. I see a therapist, pretty, you know, like 3 or 4 times a month. And when I hit an issue that I just cannot logic my way through with my conscious mind, I go right into hypnosis and get clarity through a past life. I get clarity with my spirit guides and asking them questions. Yes. So it's so valuable in the sense of like moving from this, I logically get this, but for whatever reason, my emotions feel so out of control. So that helps me with that. And then what I would tell people is like, so, okay, Ian, I'm just going to give like a little bit longer background and you can cut it out if you want, but
no, that's fine.
Okay. So to give even more context, when I graduated college, I was like a sports management major. So I was like doing personal training and teaching group exercise instructor or in group exercise classes and all of that. And I did that for 15 years. I coached, I was a consultant at like corporate fitness centers, you know, where people go to work and there's like a gym in the building. And so And all of this time over the course of 15 years, I was always trying to dig deeper. Because when someone would buy a big personal training package for me, my bank account would be like, yay. And then my brain would be like, I got to see this person 4 times a week for the next 5 months. Like, oh my God, what did I just do to myself? And so I was always trying, and because I think I'm always trying to get to the bottom of things. It's just kind of my nature. I don't know if it's like scorpionic or what. So I was always trying to get people to dig deeper and really move to an intrinsic form of motivation. Like, I want to do this for my own reasons, as opposed to extrinsic. I'm only going to do this because I'm paying someone to beat the shit out of me. And with that, you end up in the mind. If you're digging long enough into behaviors, you end up in the mind. That's just where it is. And so I was on a personal path, and my clients were, just a few steps behind me on their personal path. And so I was always digging in personally. I explored hypnosis. It worked wonders for my anxiety, gave me so much perspective, so much wisdom, got me really, really in touch with my power and my intuition. And then when I was coaching people, like wellness coaching, it started to be like all of my one-on-one clients, I would just be like, hey, you got to go see this hypnotist. Like, you know, you're supposed to be working out. You know, you're supposed to be drinking water. You know, like, you got to go get to those issues underneath. Like, what is blocking you? And I'm not talking about weight loss, hypnotherapy stuff. I mean, you can do that if you want. That's not what I do. I'm talking about getting to those issues. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this when you don't want to do it? Yeah. Anyway, so that's it's like we have our conscious mind can tell us we want certain things, and our subconscious mind kind of tells us whether that's true or not. And hypnosis is really just spending time in that subconscious mind. And I'll say another reason why I think it's so valuable is because there is a thought, there's a belief, there's like science behind it. I'm not a science person, but I know enough about it that everything that ever happens to us is stored in our subconscious mind. So if you believe in past lives, other dimensions, life between lives, then that would include those memories. So every memory is stored in your subconscious mind from every past life, every life in between life, every experience your soul has had, it's stored in that subconscious mind. And so when we go into that hypnotic trance state, we're not shutting off our conscious mind. Our conscious mind is there, it's aware of what's going on, but it is not in the driver's seat. It's like laying down in the back seat, and our subconscious mind is able to pull up memories and stories and thought patterns and blocks and releases and even vows, curses, hexes, whatever it is, like deep in your soul. And that's how we get rid of that. And it's a little bit deeper understanding. The first time I did a past life regression, I went in thinking I got to deal with this fear of commitment, and it wasn't a fear of commitment, it was a fear of failure. Which to anyone might be like, well, those are really similar. But if you're actually working with a fear of commitment, you're kind of going down a completely different path. And failure for me, knowing that it was really failure that I was afraid of, all it did was like bringing the unconscious to the conscious was enough to heal that. I was like, oh, I'm not going to fail at this. All right, moving forward. And it just like wasn't an issue anymore. So it can be really quick. That's also why I like hypnosis. It's incredibly subtle. You're not hanging on for dear life, counting to 10, taking deep breaths. You have resolved it on such a deep level that you're not even worrying about the thing that was causing you to have to take deep breaths before.
Right. And it allows you, basically, it allows you to step outside of yourself and look at yourself from like a third person perspective almost and be like, wow, look at that guy. Look what he's doing. How would you fix that problem if you were that guy? Which is, it's weird to think about, like looking at yourself as like another person, but that's kind of what happens sometimes.
Oh, I see that happen so much, especially when I have a client who has a parent who abandoned them. The amount of clients who come in and say, oh, I'm working, as an adult, trying to have an adult relationship with my parent who abandoned me, but now they're back. Da, 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 da. And it's really interesting the amount of clients who come with that and then see a past life where they abandoned someone. And then they can see, oh, that's what that feels like. Oh, and everyone's situation is different. And we're certainly not giving people a pass for abuse and neglect in this life. But what I'm saying is, like, sometimes when we can just walk a mile in someone else's shoes, we can see that something is not our fault, or we can see that there's nothing wrong with us. It was all their problem. It's really powerful. Yeah, just getting that different perspective will change your life.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so what I would like to know now is if you're, I don't know if you have like NDAs with any of your clients. Some people have that where they just like agreed not to discuss anything. But if you're able to, I would love to hear your coolest or your weirdest, one of your weirdest sessions you've ever facilitated where you're just like, what the hell is going on here? This is awesome.
Yes. Oh God, this is so perfect. Well, I don't know when this episode's going to come out, Ian, but it's actually the last podcast episode I released. I think it's podcast episode number 91. And you can listen to the whole thing. It took me a while to figure out what in the hell was going on. This client came, she was a repeat client. We were doing a spirit guide session. She wanted to connect with her spirit guides, and she had some specific questions that she wanted to ask them. And she ended up meeting with these, what she called beings of light. But the first, I don't even know how many minutes, you can tell she's having a really difficult time just like talking and understanding. And it took me a while to figure it out. But finally, I was like, oh, their vibration was just overwhelming to her. And so finally, when I figured out that's what was going on, I was like, okay, ask them to step back, ask them to put up a shield, ask them to do something so you can still interact with them, but you don't feel so much their energy. And when I said that and she had them take a step backward, she just goes, ah. And I mean, even just the tension just totally drained out of my body. And I was like, holy shit, we needed that. That's the longest it's ever taken me to be like, what the hell is going on here? But that's the beauty of it, is like, it's pretty easy for me to be confused as to what the f*** is going on and still be able to get the client to, because I don't have to understand it. They just have to understand it. And so it's pretty easy to still kind of ask questions in that, but still, yeah, that was the wildest. That's the most extraterrestrial I've ever had with a client. Yeah, that was the wildest one.
Have you had other entities come into your sessions a lot?
Yeah, this question, whenever I get it, I always think I should Google what entity means. Because here's what I think. I know what people mean when they say attachment or entity, or I think I know what they mean. But I don't see it as like, I see it as more like a spectrum, or at least that's how it is with the clients who come to see me.
Yeah, me too. Just so you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's almost like if it builds up long enough, is that a decade or is that 5,000 lives? I have no idea. It seems like it just kind of starts to get bigger and create more issues and become stickier and more tendrils reaching out, affecting different parts of your body. So in nearly every session, we do some sort of like residue cleansing, block removal, or any sort of entity attachment. But I feel like I'm probably missing a few here, but I know for sure I've had two clients who have had like an entity that had a human form that was following them around. And for both of them, one of them was like a little boy that had just been attracted to this client of mine who's very like sparkly and nurturing and just, of course, everybody's kind of attracted to her. And so we were able to help him cross over and go through the light. And then I had a woman who had, you know, that tall, skinny man with the top hat or some kind of hat that people see. And there's like theories that it has to do with childhood abuse and this man coming in to protect, but when you're an adult, you don't need that protection, so he should leave. Something like that. I mean, I
Every session is so fun.
But,
yeah, I would even consider spirit guides to be entities. Like, in my definition of entity is like any third party.
Yes.
Any third party coming in. So I know we're a little pressed for time. I'd love to keep talking to you, but I always ask the practitioners and things if you have a message for my audience. Or some kind of a message. Again, sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I like it. I love a good question that makes me pause. And I really like a good question where people don't have the answer, where it's like, I don't have the answer yet, but I will. So what I love to remind people of, and it's a big part of my work, or I see it as a big part of my work, is reminding people like how powerful you are. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't see it, you are way more powerful than you know. And if that to you seems at all interesting, start connecting with that power. That power is your soul. It's your gifts. It's your intuition. It's your unique way about you going around this world, whether it's like the clothes you wear or how you do a certain thing. Everything is art. It's like, how are you expressing yourself in this life? And so just remember, like, you are way more powerful than you know. And I just, to me, it's one of the most interesting things about life. It's like getting to know that power and touching that power and using that power. So just a reminder to everybody, you got it. So you can use it if you want it.
That's wonderful. And again, like I said before, I would love for you to plug your website if people would maybe want to come and do a session with you, or definitely your podcast, because you got some really great stuff on there. What do you got going on?
Yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity. I have, if you go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, you can find it all there. That's every episode of my podcast is there. And of course, the podcast is also on Spotify, Apple, and every other place you get your podcasts. And so Past Lives in the Divine, that's where you can find the podcast. That's where you can ask questions. If you listen to an episode and have a question, that's where you can sign up for a session. That's where you can read about the services I offer. It's all online. So doesn't matter where you are, but I encourage people to just go to Past Lives in the Divine, click around, listen to a few episodes. And if you like it, just keep going. And if I drive you nuts, that's totally okay. Just go the other direction. So that's what we got.
Awesome. Well, hey, Gina, thank you so much for coming onto my show. I really appreciate you sharing your time with me.
Oh, gosh, Ian, thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot.
That's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank Gina for coming onto the show. I'd also like to thank you for tuning in. Head on over to my Facebook or my Twitter, which is the Regression Session Podcast on Facebook and at Regression Session on Twitter. And I post some additional content on there sometimes, as well as show updates. And I'm going to be releasing a bonus episode this week, so look out for that. I'll probably release that on like Wednesday or so. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. If you like the show, I'd appreciate you subscribing in your podcast player and sharing the show around with anyone you think might be interested, or even someone who you think would be interested in coming onto the show. If you're interested in coming onto the podcast and talking with me about your experiences, send me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com, and I would love to have you on the show. This week, we're going to be hearing from Gina, and Gina is the host of the podcast Past Lives and the Divine,
where she talks about all things past life-y and divine-y. Head on over to my Facebook or my Twitter. God damn it.